This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Cavaliers getting ready for Game 3 against Orlando. We got the NFL Draft. And the Browns will eventually make a pick, allegedly. Folks, this weekend we could have a World Series preview. Cleveland-Atlanta, part due. As Atlanta's off to a 17-7 start, and we are off to a 17-7 start. And to talk about your Cleveland Guardians, and to talk about baseball, and to talk about Tito Francona, and the interview, the very good interview that he just had, legendary MLB analyst, father of our old coworker Jeff Kirkchin, who's also a wonderful host and a wonderful man, and I believe a wonderful father now, Tim. Tim Kirkchin joins us on the show. Tim, good morning to you.
How you doing, fellas? And yes, my son Jeff is a great dad. He is juggling all sorts of things in morning radio, coming home and then bouncing his baby McKinley on his lap. Very proud of my son. He's doing exceptionally well.
It is absolutely wonderful to hear that. Tim Kirkchin joining us, ESPN. Again, he appears on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and he is the co-host of Is This a Great Game or What? The podcast with his son, Jeff Kirkchin. And again, our former co-worker and a wonderful man in his own right. Tim, we'll talk about that just coming up here in a moment. Guardians out to a 17-7 start. Have they been the biggest surprise in Major League Baseball or one of the top two? What are you thinking?
Well, certainly one of the top three. The Royals are doing way better than I thought. The Brewers are doing way better than I thought. Several other teams are doing better than I thought, which is great for baseball. But the Guardians being 10 games over already and outscoring their opponents by 47 runs. And I think the most surprising thing is they're second in the American League in runs scored to the Orioles. That's the big surprise for me. I thought going into the season, they had a chance to win the division because Shane Bieber was coming back. Their pitching was going to be really good. Bieber went down after two starts, and instead they have moved forward, and they have done that with good pitching, but especially with a very good offensive team so far. Did not see that coming. And given this is a very winnable division, there's no reason to think that the Guardians, you know, long way to go, but can't win this division. There's no dominant team there, and they've outplayed everyone so far, and it has been really impressive to watch.
Hey, Tim, it's interesting because, not going to lie, here in Cleveland, not a ton of buzz. It was an offseason after a disappointing year when you lose your storied manager, someone that this town rallied around, obviously had teams rally around in Tito, and then they go in a totally different direction. They did not go with a vet and someone who's been around forever. They went with a guy who was just pretty recently in Major League Baseball. What did you make of going from Tito to Vogt the way they did?
All right. Well, first off, there's no replacing Tito Francona. I said last year, and I've said almost any year for the last almost 20 years, if I had to pick one manager to manage my team for a year, that's who I would pick, is Tito Francona. Not just because of his baseball acumen, but with his touch with players, his feel for the game, it's so important. But I've known Stephen Vogt for a long time. I wrote a long story on him for ESPN.com this spring, and there was no doubt in my mind the minute he took this job that he would be the perfect replacement for Tito Francona because he has a lot of Tito in him. He's got a tremendous sense of humor. He's got a tremendous feel for people. He never misses a trick. He's all over everything, and yet he's got such a creative and soft side to him that I knew right away they got the right guy. I just didn't know he'd be this good after 24 games. The Guardians are in the right hands with Stephen Vogt this year and moving forward. They really got that one right.
Tim Kirkjian joining us on the show. There was a recent study that came out. Mitch found it where the Guardians are known as, again, one of the finest organizations in professional sports. Fans, you know, Tim, they don't always feel that way. It always starts with ownership, as it does in a lot of places in professional baseball. Do you think a fan would rather have good ownership, solid leadership, contention every year or competency every year, or do they kind of want a wild man who's willing to spend money on anything?
Well, I'm going for the former every time here. You know, competent ownership is absolutely critical because everything filters down. And if the owner's all over the place at the top, say with the Oakland A's, a completely violent example of this, things don't go particularly well. The Guardians have been well run. The guys who run the team do an exceptional job. And I think they're in good hands. We just have to recognize it's not a big market team. It might never be a big market team with the way ownership and everything else works. But to be a contender every year is something that most teams don't get. So I'm not saying Cleveland fans are spoiled or want more. They do. And once it's 1948, I understand that. But it's been a pretty darn competitive team for the last 10 years, if not longer.
Now, you talked about the offense, where they are statistically, and there's still a way to go. I mean, you haven't really gotten much at all out of your MVP, your almost annual MVP candidate in Jose Ramirez. What will stick around the whole season? What do you think has some likelihood of being, you know, really good the rest of the year with this lineup?
Well, first off, you're right. Jose Ramirez is a really, really good player. And he's hitting, what, 230, and they're 10 games over 500. I would be thrilled if I were a Guardians fan that this is where our offense is and our best player hasn't gotten going yet. Josh Naylor's a good hitter, fellas. This isn't just a three-week start to the season. You guys saw it last year. That guy can really hit, and so can his brother behind the plate. And Stephen Kwan's a real deal, man. He's not just a really good defensive outfielder. He gets on base. He doesn't strike out much. He's tremendous at the top of the order. He's way over 300. Those two things are going to stick. The question is everything else going to work? Is Andrés Giménez going to keep hitting like he did 2 years ago and like he has so far? I really like where they are offensively, not just because they're a small ball, hit a bunch of sacrifice flies, go first to third. They're doing it with a little bit more thunder. That's how they're scoring their runs, and that's how you have to win in the big leagues today. You have to hit a home run here and there. You have to hit a ball in the gap here and there, and that's what they're doing.
Now, you mentioned the rotation, and unfortunately, we've already had some unfortunate news to begin the year. We know about Bieber. We're not sure about Tristan McKenzie, who's going to pitch today, and there was recent reporting about what's going on with his arm, and then we had a setback, quite possibly, with Gavin. So with all of that said, you still think that the Guardians are going to be able to pitch, right?
Yeah, I do. Now, again, Tristan McKenzie has to be healthy for the whole season if they're going to win this division. They're going to have to get more out of that rotation, because ultimately it's been the bullpen that has been so, so good, even better than the rotation. I mean, you know, Hunter Gaddis and, you know, the closer's been great. Tim Herron's been great. They have a really good bullpen right now, and that's going to have to keep up if they're going to win this division. But to be where they are with Bieber making two starts, McKenzie up and down a little bit, Gavin Williams hadn't pitched yet, I think it's a really good spot they're in right now. It's going to get better from here in the rotation.
Why do you think, Tim Kirkjian joining us, ESPN author, also the co-host with his son, Is This a Great Game or What? It's a podcast, wonderful new podcast. They just had former Guardians manager Tito Francona on it. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts or visit greatgameorwhat.com. Tim, why are there so many pitchers now having to get Tommy John. Why are there so many arm issues lately in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, it's not lately, though. It's the last 10 years, but it's getting worse, and we need to address this. And there are a lot of reasons for this going on, but the number one reason is the industry has demanded that our pitchers throw as hard as they can virtually on every pitch. And now we're throwing fewer fastballs than we are off-speed pitch in the major leagues, and now our pitchers have been told by the industry you have to spin that slider, that curveball at X rate, otherwise you're not getting to the big leagues. You have to miss bats. You have to strike people out. Otherwise, not only are you not going to get here, you're not going to stay here. And those are all bad messages that are being sent. We're going to have to go back to Little League, literally to Little League, and say, all right, kids, you don't have to throw as hard as you can. You don't have to strike everyone out. You don't have to throw the best curveball on the team. You have to hit a bat, get somebody out, and move on. We are so far away from that right now, and that's, to me, the biggest reason why we have all these injuries. Seemingly every day somebody good is getting hurt, and that is not healthy for the game.
Boy, it's interesting what you just said. It has to be Little League. You know, in golf, you have the USGA, right, that is supposed to monitor the sport from the top on down all the way to beginners. What do we have in baseball? Who is that? Who's in leadership to make something like that happen?
Well, again, there are so many different leadership levels. I mean, the Little League at Williamsport does the greatest job I've ever seen doing almost anything, but it's going to have to start with our parents and all these instructors that a 12-year-old has, where we're just going to have to change the narrative a little bit that the goal is to get people out. And then once we get to pro ball, part of the problem is we're teaching the same things. You know, Paul Skeens in the Pirates system, he's got like 12 innings, 27 strikeouts so far. It's ridiculous, but we're not pushing him in an innings limit, which is a good idea so we don't get him hurt. But maybe we should go back to the way when I first grew up and when I first started covering baseball in the late 70s, the more you throw, the better, the stronger your arm becomes. But you don't have to throw as hard as you can on every pitch. You don't have to spin it as hard as you can. To me, that's what needs to be adjusted.
Do you think the changes in Major League Baseball, pitch clock and all those things, have they been good for the game? Have they benefited the fan interest?
Yeah, I think the pitch clock has definitely worked, and I'm 67 years old, so it takes me a long time to adjust to change. So I think almost everything is working, but I will tell you, I still do not understand why we have to put a ghost runner at second base to start the 10th inning of an extra inning tie game. It's just, it's time to get rid of that.
Put him at third?
It's building support. The more it happens, the more people like it. I'm sorry. I don't like it.
Okay, now I got it. Lima, you have to tell him your original idea for extra innings. Tim, just hear him out. I think it's actually fun. Well, you're going to think it's really stupid, but I think it's fun.
Well, I was trying to think of outside-the-box ways that we could make it interesting because I was so saddened by the amount of fans that would leave these games that would go, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours. So I said every inning you pull – a defender, you pull somebody in the field off the field every single inning. So the later you go, it would mean more explosive highlights, more exciting plays, and of course, more runs.
Okay, I'm going to hang up now. Okay?
No, Tim, please, no, no.
God, it was Sal Pell the other day. Now it's Tim Kirchen.
Yeah.
No, you guys are too young to remember the King and His Court, which was Eddie Fainer, who was the greatest softball pitcher in the history of men's softball. And he was so good. He only needed like four fielders because no one ever hit the ball. And he just needed like one outfielder, a shortstop, and a first baseman, and a catcher. And that was it. No, we're not taking anybody off the field. We need to play nine innings. And if we're tied, we need to play the rest of the game until somebody wins. We've been doing this for 150 years. We should keep doing it.
Tim, my dad told me about him because I'm not joking. I saw an episode of King of the Hill, and there was the ace and his jewels, the ace of diamonds and his jewels, and it was a King of the Hill episode, and my dad's like, that's actually been done in real life, and then he told me all about it. So I am familiar. I am familiar with it. Tim Kirchen joining us on the show. What, you got something there?
Yeah, oh, so you had
Lima,
a chance.
No, I don't. No, I'm done on Eddie Fainer.
Lima, go ahead.
So you had your recent podcast with your son and Tito. And I guess one of the questions we had when Tito was all said and done, was he going to be all said and done? Was he actually going to retire? Do you get the feeling that he could manage again?
I do. Now, he called it retirement to me. I'm enjoying this retirement thing. But I think there's a chance, at least, that he, in fact, a American League manager told me a year ago, Tito is going to get healthy. He's going to get in better shape to manage, meaning he's going to get of as many health problems as he can, and then he'll be back in a year and a half. That's what he told me. Now, do I think that's going to happen? My guess at the moment is no. My guess is he's not going to manage again. But is there a chance? Absolutely. He loves the game. It is part of his fiber in every way, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him back because he still has a lot to add to the game, and he still loves it, but he's got to get healthy first. But I think he's getting healthier, and that's a really good sign no matter what he does.
Podcast is still really really new, Tim. Can you tell us a little bit about it and what people are getting into when they listen?
Well, we're five episodes in. It runs an hour every Tuesday. We have interviews with people who make us laugh. There's no heavy lifting here. There's no anger here. There's no screaming. It's a father and a son doing a father-son podcast about baseball. My son Jeff, as you guys know, is really polished on the air. He doesn't understand baseball like his stupid dad does, because that's the only thing that I understand. So everything else that's going on in the world, pop culture, technology, and everything else, he can add to that. And I don't want to get corny about this, but sitting next to my son doing a podcast once a week is the highlight of my week every week, and it's the highlight of my professional career. We've always wanted to do this. We're having an awful lot of fun with it. And I can promise you, if you listen, you will laugh and you will learn. And I think those are two things we don't do enough of these days.
How often are you watching his kid?
Oh, every Monday I go there. I see McKinley, my granddaughter. But the problem is, fellas, the entire studio is set up in his basement. And it takes a while to do some things. So it's not like I'm just going to Philadelphia, where I am once a week I wish I could see my granddaughter more, but once I get there, we go down in the basement and we don't come up until the job is done. And then I take care of some family stuff. But Jeff and Emily have done a great job taking care of the baby. I just drop in and be pop-up here and there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tim, we can't thank you enough for the time. Again, the podcast is called Is This a Great Game or What? It's available wherever you get your podcasts, or online, greatgameorwhat.com. Tim Kirkjian, ESPN. Tim, thank you very much for the time.
Okay, my pleasure, fellas. See you.
Yes, sir. Tim Kirkjian, ESPN on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Tim Kirkjian.
Amazing. And, I mean, I always said, I was like, I don't believe he's done. I don't believe Tito's done. You believe Tito's done? I wouldn't hold it against him, by the way, if he came back and managed in baseball.
I kind of thought he was.
Now, let me ask you.
By watching him, just his body deteriorated over time. I mean, every year we would get these stories about, hey, he's feeling good again. And then you'd see him walk out to the mound by, I don't know, June, and go, whoa, is he going to make it through the year?
It kind of looked like you'd like to send somebody else out there. And like, hey, do my bidding, please. I wouldn't hold it against him. Let me ask you one thing, though. If you won a World Series with another team, would you hold that against him? That's an unfair question.
Are they American League or National League?
I would say the Diamondbacks, so National League.
Okay.
You wouldn't hold that against him?
Well, no. You know what? I think at some point, it's time to move on, right?
Yeah, well, that's all I ask. We don't need to belabor it.
Maybe you'd have, and it's a different, look, Tito is not Bill Belichick, but I wonder if Patriots fans, even if they loved Bill Belichick for all those years, and rightfully so, at some point, enough is enough. At some point, you're ready to get a new perspective on things. Listen to the Pittsburgh Steelers fans with Mike Tomlin, and Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl. And he's never been below 500. They're done with him. Not because he's a bad coach. They don't think he's a bad coach. They might in the moment think he's a bad coach in the moment, but they know overall he's a respected good coach. But it's time to see a new way of doing things.
The difference is between the sports, though. The NFL, it feels like coaches only coach maybe two or at the most three places, right, as a head coach. Major League Baseball, the good managers, they manage 15 ball clubs, and they're all 80. I mean, La Russa was, and that did not end well.
No, it didn't. It ended very poorly.
Dusty Baker, 80s? Five stops.
Yeah.
But Dusty was good his last
chance. Jim Leland, I remember him in 20 different. Lou Piniella, I remember him in 20 different uniforms.
Because in baseball like that type, you mentioned Jim Leland. They seem to get better with Jack McKeon. They seem to get better with age.
Four stops for McKeon.
La Russa is like the only one I would say like, oh, God, that ended terribly.
Probably should have just ended in St. Louis and let it be.
I'm sure there's other ones that ended terribly. I mean, you can go back to Casey Stengel. Like, it just seems like, a little bit older for whatever reason.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Like in other sports, we want them to be younger to resonate with the players. A little bit older, it seems to go okay in that final stop. That's nothing against Stephen Vogt. I'm not even making a comparison there. But again, I'm not going to hold it over him because some of it, you got to admit, some of it's a lot on the players and some of it's a little bit on luck and a lot of other things that happen. You got to put it all together. And I think it's harder than ever to win a World Series. I think it's hard, especially because we always bring up the haves and have-nots. All right, well, the Dodgers, they won a World Series, and they spend $300 million plus on their payroll, but at the same time, they won a World Series in a 60-game shortened season. So I can't say that much about it. You'd say what you want to about the Astros, but you see what the Texas Rangers were able to build. So, yes, it's absolutely possible. Part of that is frustrating because you never know when you're going to really compete, but you try to make your team competitive every single year to see whether or not, all right, the heavens will open up. This year's finally our year. One more thing. We got to get back to the Browns. We got to get back to the draft. We got to get back to the Cavs. Reggie Bush got his Heisman back yesterday. Now, we extrapolated it where Mitch had said, is there a sports wrong that you would want to be righted? And you immediately went to the Jim Tressel well. I will tell you.
And the Jim O'Brien.
If
Final Four well.
Jim O'Brien, that was something else.
Scooney Penn team.
Named a cat after Jim O'Brien. So, I would have... Reggie Bush loses his Heisman. Got it back. What could they reinstate with Jim Tressel? What could the NCAA do with him? Could they give him his wins
12
back?
12 wins, a Sugar Bowl, and, man, he got suspended in the NFL, too.
Is that a way? But the NFL picks and chooses when they want to work
with
what
are they doing with Harbaugh?
I don't know if Jim Harbaugh Harbaugh have anything?
Somebody
I don't even pay attention to the
not
NCAA
yet.
Violations.
Not yet, but
they're not going to suspend Jim Harbaugh.
So, They did it to Jim Tressel as a film, as a, what was his job title?
He's an analyst. He was an analyst.
As an analyst, and he did get suspended, didn't he? So,
but he was on an active suspension from the NCAA, right?
Right, which could still happen. Why has that not been a story on whether or not the Chargers might need to have an assistant coach take over the team for a little bit?
I don't think that that's...
They set the precedent. Goodell was the commissioner.
I don't think it matters to him. I don't think it matters to anybody there. They make up their own rules. So you could be as upset... I mean, you kind of took it away from me here because I was kind of...
Yeah,
you
sorry,
guys always... Well, not, no, because you made me sit there and defend Jim Harbaugh, which I'm not trying to defend Jim Harbaugh.
It was stupid at the time, and it would be stupid now if they suspended Harbaugh at the NFL level. I'm in agreement with you.
Fair.
I'm just saying the precedent is out there.
So the precedent is out there. What I'm trying to get to is this, damn it, is the reason I am no longer the most psychotic Ohio State fan out there, because I was. If you guys think, you guys probably like it better this way, that I'm not an Ohio State fan.
Are you saying you left the set of Heavenly Claws and went right to watch the Buckeyes?
Yes. No, because it was April. Maybe the spring game.
Spring game, yeah.
But I loved Ohio State more than all of them. I loved Ohio State more than all of them combined. That's how much I loved Ohio State football at one point in my life. And it was like from childhood all the way up. And when Jim Tressel, you don't even understand. I mean, I was like, they're railroading Jim. How could they do this? Gene Smith needs to go, not Jim. Like, I was upset. The senator, the vest, the whole thing. And when they let him go, I went, you know what? I go to Akron. I don't need to be involved in any of this. At that time, I was like, I went to Akron. I like Akron. I like Akron. It's like, they've always been my second favorite. But I'm like, well, why can't Akron just be my first? I went to Akron. I paid money to go to Akron. They need all the fans they can get. Let me go be an Akron fan. And then not just being an Akron fan because it's football and, you know, I hope that Akron turns in a above 500 season. That would be nice. But I end up being an enjoyer of all the college football programs out there to the point where it annoys Tone. And I think that that is the thing that saves me from just going way down deep into the gully is where, yeah, I like all the teams except I don't hate Ohio State. I do not, but I'm not an Ohio State fan. If Jim gets his wins back, should I come back to the fold?
No, I mean, yeah, it means nothing to
me. I got some Ohio State stuff still left over in my office. I still have my gnome.
Will you be reinstated as a Buckeyes fan?
Well, if Jim gets reinstated with his wins, should you reinstate me as a Buckeyes fan, Anthony?
I mean, fine. They would get
don't
another.
Don't just say, yeah, fine. I want to know an answer.
They get another win over Michigan, which I don't think any Ohio State fan has ever not credited to Jim Tressel. They won 37-7. Dominating performance, by the way.
So you don't even seem enthused. Not even if it were against my will. Even if you were to go, well, you know what? Now that wrong's been righted, so now you have to be an Ohio State fan. And if I were kicking and screaming, you wouldn't even want me to.
Yeah, part of it is I just think it happened so long ago and no Ohio State fan really cared in the end because it led to what? It led to one bad year with Luke Fickle in just a bizarro year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it led to a national championship in 2014 with Urban Meyer.
See, that's...
So that's the way it cleansed a lot of this. And I like Jim Tressel. He will... In the rest of my life, there will not be a more beloved figure because I was on campus covering that Ohio State team. He was someone who I learned football from.
Yeah.
I watched him draw plays for the media.
Yeah.
I the guy, when I went to Parkersburg, took the time to small talk with me while I was fixing a camera to try to interview him one time, and I was sweating bullets and thought that my career was coming to an end. I will forever love Jim Tressel. There's nothing you can ever say bad about Jim Tressel to me. So... I never understood. Like, I remember Dennis Dodd came on the radio and said,
you guys had it out.
I got into it with him.
I remember.
Dennis Dodd thought it was like one of the biggest offenses ever to happen. He lied to the NCAA investigators. And I'm like, yeah, guess what? 100% of coaches in that situation are lying to investigators.
I love the Dodd father, but that was a little bit weird that he did.
I like
that.
Him too. I think he was.
I used to have him on CBS Sports Radio all the time.
I think he was so wrong on that. And looking back, it does seem silly now that all of it went down.
Yeah.
For Ohio State fans, they will always say it worked out for Ohio State.
Well, let me tell you this.
It sucked to lose Tressel, but it worked out. They got Urban Meyer. They got an even better, at that time, a better football coach.
It's gotten to the point where I think that we as radio show hosts have beaten everybody over the head so much with the NCAA that I don't think it's an argument worth having anymore. I think it's feckless. I think that if I were to sit here and rant and rave against the NCAA anymore, I think it's a waste of everybody's time. They've been beaten. They're beaten down. They're done. They've shown that they have zero power. I don't really have to do that. So I don't need to talk about the big, bad NCAA anymore and talk about how nasty they are. However, if you really want to do some a roundabout way of thinking here, if you're an Ohio State fan, which I'm not anymore, NCAA might be your best friend. Can you guarantee that Jim Tressel would have been able to recruit against Urban Meyer in the future or against Nick Saban in the future? Do you believe you would have won another national title with Jim Tressel? I'm looking at this as a non-Ohio State fan
It
anymore.
Was not trending in a great direction.
Uh-huh.
Some of the recruiting had slipped.
Uh-huh.
So, you ended up with Urban Meyer, who brought you top five classes every year. Tressel was not doing that.
Yep. Would you end up with the type of, I would say, insane, but also rightfully so insane, expectations of Ryan Day, where 1,006 or whatever the hell his record is, isn't good enough because he can't beat Michigan over the last few years because he hasn't won a national title? Because he says it cost him $13 million a year to field that football team with NIL, and now more pressure than is ever before on him, even though I could try to defend Ryan Day and go, hey, man, it was wide left from whatever yards. If they would have hit that, they would have won the national title. But ifs and buts and all the other things. We can go back to John Cooper in the 90s if we wanted to with some of the ifs and buts out there. So there you go. For as much as everybody says they hate Ohio, or excuse me, they hate the NCAA, I'd have done you a bit of a favor. Because Urban Meyer played for keeps. You lost me. You gained Urban Meyer in a national championship. I'd say that's a pretty good trade for Ohio State fans.
Urban did kind of...
And everybody still loves Jim Tressel. And Jim Tressel's still welcomed into the program.
Inadvertently, he did kind of ruin regular seasons. Urban Meyer. He made it just the Michigan game and winning national championships. It's the only thing
I don't think a regular Ohio State fan gives a damn about any of that. You might. I might. For talking purposes, I don't think a regular Ohio State fan cares about any of that.
The shoe has never had more... empty seats at the beginning of the year.
I'm talking regular Ohio State fans, the guys who watch at their houses, the guys who watch at the bar, the guys who say they're big Ohio State fans, and I think it's something for them to do. And that's the type of fan that Ohio State, because it's a general fan base, would certainly need. That's what separates you from the haves and the have-nots. Coming up next, we have Mitch, please. Mitch, what do you have?
I got a guy who says that the Browns could get a good player at this position in any round.
Ooh. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on the Fan. Browns no picks tonight. They got a pick tomorrow. Will Greg Newsom still be a Brown? That coming up here in a moment. And, of course, Cavs Magic Game 3. Is this going to be a clean sweep? First, Mitch, please. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Ken. So this whole week I've been trying to think of who the Browns will be taking for their second-round selection, specifically the position, because a lot of people have been saying wide receivers. Some people say go to the trenches, fix up the defense, what have you. Now, I got this clip from a guy.
I'm from the trenches.
I'm sure you are.
I'm from what have you.
I'm from Tuscarawas County. So we have this this clip from a guy we've heard already on the show, Solomon Wilcots, who was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. He says that the Browns could easily get a good wide receiver in any round of this draft.
It's a great demand for wide receivers, but there's a huge supply, which suggests you can get really good players at that position in any round in the draft. I'm not saying that you got to wait till the seventh round, but you don't have to use a first round pick on them, which you don't have. You don't have to use your first pick in the second round on them, and not even the third round. You can address those other needs.
I've done some questioning of Solomon Wilcots and his reasoning here over the last 3 hours because of the whole Greg Newsom deal. And I'm not even that defensive over Greg Newsom. I just want him for this season. I do totally agree with him, though, about the wide receiver conversation. Like, it is one of those things, like, I go, well, yeah, but you're going to have a lower likelihood, fifth, sixth round. Boy, there's guys, it seems, with wide receivers, like, they hit. And, I mean, what's a hit to you? A contributor? A wide receiver three that starts for your football team in every single round? Now, yeah, there's guys who are taken in the first round who end up being sloppy and bad, and then there's guys who end up getting taken in the first round and they're just overdrafted.
Cedric Tillman, a hit. I really liked him coming out. I was excited when they drafted him.
But can I call a third-round guy a miss? I think the only way you can is if you compare it to maybe a wide receiver who was drafted behind him.
Is David Bell a miss?
David Bell right now, I love David Bell, but David Bell's a miss.
Is Anthony Schwartz a miss?
Anthony Schwartz was a big miss in the third round.
Yes. They're both more misses than Tillman. Tillman was actually on the field. Yeah. He might not have caught the ball as much as you wanted, but...
Callaway was a fourth round pick. Yeah, we talked about him earlier.
Callaway was definitely a miss. But I don't want to say Cedric Tillman is a miss yet. He's got to obviously improve his routes and figure out not just his route running, but which route to run. Because you saw that on NFL Films. So if it's there for NFL Films, it's as clear as day he's running the wrong routes. And Joe Flacco let everybody know on national television when he was really mad at him for running the wrong route to the end zone. I don't want to say that Cedric Tillman's a miss yet, and certainly he's not a bust because he's a third-round pick. But you can find wide receivers later on. Like, hey, we talked all the time about Donovan Peoples-Jones, and maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones just had that one pretty good year and that's it. But if you're taking a six-round guy, I guess I'm going to take that one good year and that's it. Maybe that's how it's going to go. Because if we're talking about drafting replacements, yeah, they tried to do that with David Bell. Yeah, they tried to do that with some other positions. Michael Woods got hurt. Hopefully he'll be have a fine career after that, but we'll see how that goes. Like, there's some changes there, but I'm not afraid. I should be. Classic me would have been. If we were doing this draft show in 2013, I think I would have been, had Andrew Berry been here. I think we're about the same age. Had Andrew Berry been here and been already the general manager, I would have been afraid and go, man, Andrew doesn't draft wide receivers well. He doesn't draft defensive tackles well. I don't think that should scare anybody from taking a defensive tackle or a wide receiver here in this draft. Tomorrow, obviously, starting. Cavs Magic, game three tonight. Call it. Is this a sweep?
Yeah, I think it is. I do think the Magic will actually have a lead tonight, but I'm trying to think of what kind of a
past
lead.
Past 2-0?
Yeah, I mean, they have not been able. It's almost been wire to wire for the Cavs in the first two games of this series. I do think that some of the threes will fall. Like Jalen Suggs, he had been a 43% three-point shooter since the All-Star break. He's been horrific. All their guards have been horrific, basically everybody.
Well, now he's playing banged up, too.
Yeah, but I do think they'll hit some threes, and so the Cavs will be in a few situations where, hey, JBS called timeout. Let's reevaluate. Let's figure out our lineups. Let's get maybe Donovan Mitchell back on the floor a little sooner. The key in this series is going to be to dispose of the Magic as soon as possible. That could be the one advantage you have in that next round if you're fortunate enough to continue. So I do think it's a pull out all the stops and figure out a way to crush the will of the Magic. Because if you do it at home, if you get a third quarter lead and some of those threes start missing from Orlando, that pressure of being at home and the inevitability of them going down in four starts to become louder.
One of the things I am concerned about tonight, and you're going to have to keep a close eye on things, is I will try to keep a close eye on things, but obviously I'm doing the draft show tonight on our network, and then I'll be doing the draft show tomorrow on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network right here on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. I do worry that things are going to get a little chippy tonight. And they got chippy in game two. I think they could get a lot chippy tonight because I think Orlando, like we're all talking about it as, yeah, you're on your way out. Like this is it. This is your last gasp. I think that they're going to try to talk themselves into competing tonight. They're a young basketball team. I think they're going to try to talk themselves that they got a chance in this series, that they got to get it. And I think they're going to get very, very physical with the Cavs, like to a cheap level. Like you can say what you want to. Mo Wagner doesn't even scratch the surface. I bet there will be other guys that try to take umbrage. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Jalen Suggs is a defensive player. I would be willing to admit that Jalen Suggs might go out there and take a swipe at somebody that people are going to think is taking umbrage with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think that tonight is that night. If it were game four and you're up 3-0, I have a tendency to see a young team just kind of rolling over. If you go up by 15 in the third quarter or whatever it is in a game four, I think a young team might just go, all right, you know what? It's been a good season. Cancun's a calling. Away we go. But I think tonight is a night where if they see a chance, if they can dial it back within eight, they're going to try to come out and take a couple of swipes at you. Or if you are up by 15, the Cavaliers, again, they are a boisterous group. Like, not they were when Colin Sexton was here. Colin Sexton would hit a three and turn around and talk trash to everybody in the building. But I do think that if you go up by double digits and you go up by double digits again, maybe after like a quick Orlando run, I think things could get really chippy like they did. I think they could get even worse than what they did on Monday night.
I think that JB has to understand and has to have his players understand that you don't need to do anything stupid. Let them have their antics. They've had some of their antics at home.
You guys got to keep your heads.
Yeah, and fortunately, we had people sitting courtside that were going to help out too in the matter.
You have to. I want them to be tough. Everybody wants them to be tough, but remember, you still got to be smart. Being tough does not mean just cocking back and swinging at people. That's not what toughness is. Toughness still means being smart. Toughness is what Evan Mobley did in game two.
Toughness is having the other team think you're going to swing.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to actually swing. It's that they think you might at any point get decked.
Toughness is still what Evan Mobley and Jared Allen did in game two. Especially Evan Mobley got swiped at constantly and was still able to be trouble for Orlando. That's toughness. I don't need them to cock back and throw haymakers at everybody. I just need them to go out there and be undeniable and win and get past whatever emotions Orlando might be going through, because I think in game four they might just
I bet you that game last night where the Boston Celtics, big bad Boston, went down. I bet JB is going to be showing some clips and going, hey, this can happen to you. It can happen to them. It can happen to you.
Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. Tim Kirkchin was excellent. We got the podcast coming up after the show. 92.3thefan.com on the free Odyssey app. 92.3thefan extra on the free Odyssey app. Mary Kay was wonderful. What do you want to talk about on the podcast?
Do I get to get my ridiculous Caitlin Clark take out there that I think the entire WNBA has it wrong?
Yes, and you trying to find public bathrooms. I just remembered it. Lima has a system. He's done it, my friends. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitchapalooza, who is wearing a very odd shirt today, for the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, friends. Go Cavs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.